each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
I'm Loretta Freilich, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
1, 2, 3. I think we're on. This is Father Tom Coyce. You are listening to Winds of Change. This is Brain Wrinkling Wednesday once again. So happy to have you here with us. A lot of things, as always, to cover. Let me start out with a very interesting story about, it's COVID-related and saintly-related. It's a miracle of sorts, though the doctors are debating about whether to call it a miracle. This just happened from July of this year. There was a family by the name of Ostrowski from Michigan. And let me see, hopefully I am putting my microphone up there. Hope you can all hear me very well. This is a story about an intervention of a man from heaven. I don't know how else to explain it. A patient says that Saint Solanus Casey appeared to him in his Michigan bed. Hospital beds. So, a married man of 3 children from the Diocese of Lansing claims that Blessed Solanus Casey, the humble Capuchin friar and priest, visited him twice in the hospital and hastened what he believes to be a miraculous recovery from COVID-19. The 52-year-old construction worker, Nolan Ostrowski, a parishioner at St. Peter Catholic Church in Eaton Rapids, Michigan, shared his story with the diocese in an interview just last week, November 1st. When his COVID-19 symptoms worsened, Ostrowski was admitted to Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, Michigan on July 25th. And then one night I was sitting there and I woke up and felt like there was a lot of darkness around me, a lot of despair over me. And I noticed there was somebody sitting at the side of my headboard, and I couldn't turn to see who it was. All I could see were their legs and his brown robe, said Ostrowski, adding that initially he thought it might be his guardian angel. That apparent visitation occurred July 30th, the feast day set for Blessed Solanus Casey. The following night, July 31st, the same figure in brown robes appeared again in Ostrowski's hospital room, although this time the figure was sitting at the foot of his bed with his hands on his side. He sat there, and that's when I realized that this isn't just my guardian angel. This is a saint. This is someone special. Ostrowski began to pray and plead for my life, he said, telling the figure that he didn't want his children raised without him. There was no response from him. It was like I was talking to a statue. Nothing. And then I said, well, if you save me, I'll never use God's name in vain again. With that, he jumped up like he won the lotto. I mean, it was kind of startling. And he ran around to the side of my bed. And when he ran, it was like a skipping, floating motion, Ostrowski said. And he reached out and he touched my rib cage under my arm and then at the bottom of my rib cage. I remember kind of lifting my arm a little bit, but it was all very quick. And then he just stepped back a couple steps, and I felt like there was this ease that came over me, and I felt very relaxed and comfortable. I knew I was saved. The following day, Ostrowski's wife, Kathleen, showed him a photograph of Blessed Solanus. Ostrowski instantly recognized him as the figure who had twice visited him and laid his hands upon his ribcage. Isn't that amazing, my friends? It's just, even though most of us don't get miraculous events such as this, we pray for them quite often, don't we? I know I do. But it's so good to know that these things can happen and do happen. And so we pray God has special reasons for making this miracle and not making that one, right? So we go on. Father Solanus Casey was a Capuchin priest who was based for much of his life at St. Bonaventure Monastery in Detroit. He was known during his lifetime as a wonder worker for his great faith and for his abilities as a spiritual counselor, but especially for his great attention to the sick. He was beatified at a ceremony held in Detroit in 2017. The Ostrowski family and their friends had been praying to Blessed Solanus in the days prior to the events of July 30 and 31. Although Ostrowski said he didn't really know what he was about or what he had done. On August 3rd, Ostrowski's condition deteriorated, and he was placed on a ventilator and into an induced coma. 2 days later, he was airlifted to Lutheran Hospital in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where he was placed on an extracorporeal membrane oxygenation machine, ECMO, which operates an artificial lung for patients with severe respiratory issues. I knew once he was there, even though it was a roller coaster while he was there, that he was there to get better. That's where God sent him to heal, Kathleen Ostrowski said. As it happens, the hospital in Fort Wayne is situated only 20 miles away from the former St. Felix Friary in Huntington, Indiana, where Blessed Solanus spent most of the last 10 years of his life in retirement. After a month, Ostrowski was able to walk again with the help of the ECMO machine. And the other doctors in the ICU, they said it was a miracle and they couldn't believe how well I was doing. They took me off the ventilator. I was able to breathe on my own, nonstop. They didn't have to put me back on it. They said that that never happens. I still sometimes struggle with a lack of breathing, but for the most part, and it's only been a couple of months since I've been off that machine, I'm doing very well now, and I think it's because of the intervention that occurred to me. On October 1st, Ostrowski returned home to his family in Eaton Rapids, Michigan. Since then, the family has made a pilgrimage of thanksgiving to the tomb of Blessed Solanus Casey in Detroit. They have also written to those responsible for promoting Blessed Solanus's cause of canonization. It is a cause that requires one more attributable miracle in order for Blessed Solanus to be declared Saint Solanus. Well, I feel like it's going to happen regardless. If my part in it is to make it happen, it would be great, said Ostrowski. Added his wife, Kathleen, it would be great, but I also feel that Solanus will keep doing what he's doing. And he's obviously not done yet. So if Nolan's miracle is it, that would be great. But it'll happen. Recently, the Ostrowski family heard back from the promoters of Blessed Solanus' cause to thank them for sharing their story, but explaining that after consulting with their advisory physicians, they wouldn't be pursuing Ostrowski's recovery as an official miracle due to the fact that there may be some medical explanation for his recovery. Even so, the Ostrowskis feel blessed by what happened to them, and they're happy that their story will be kept on file as part of the canonization process. Isn't that, it's a beautiful story, is it not? And the hesitancy to use that story as part of a miracle is, in some way, the story in itself. I could be frustrated, I could be mad at the panel for rejecting it, but it does sort of point to the idea that when a miracle is declared a miracle, there are real good reasons to think it's a miracle and not a coincidence or something that can be explained by regular science, as it were. That, as I say, the Bible and especially the Gospels are filled with miraculous stories. We've heard them all so many times.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It lifts my spirits because, as I say, we know that God can do these things, and we put our trust in them. For the greatest miracle of all is that gift of eternal life when God will take us to our eternal home, right? Before we break for our first break here, I have to share just a personal little tidbit with you, my listeners. I think I've mentioned in days gone by that I have an elderly mother. She's 94, and we're constantly watching. Every day, people are telling me stories about their elderly mother or father, relatives that they're taking care of. People are living into their 90s with a lot of regularity, and of course, you do slow down. It's just an incredible gift to be able to be with someone, to try to take care of somebody. It's a lot of work. Very grateful for the ability to have someone stay with my mother. The other day she fell. And although one of the blessings about my mother is when she falls, she doesn't fall and collapse, as it were. She doesn't break anything. She's fallen a number of times over the past couple of years. She's never broken anything because usually she sort of rolls down, you know. It's kind of one of the blessings. And boy, it was so difficult for me to. I used to be able to pick her up off the floor, but I couldn't pick her up off the floor. Either I'm getting too weak, or she's getting a little heavier. Anyways, we called 911, and while we were waiting, I was able to kind of hold her on my lap while she was on the floor, and I thought, this must be so difficult for her to be so weak, to be so dependent, right? And I felt like the Blessed Mother with Jesus in her lap in that beautiful scene captured in the Michelangelo's Pietà, right? Mary holding the Lord after he died on the cross, though Mom was still kicking. Those things kind of stick with you, and you find yourself praying very hard that God's will be done, that God will protect each and every one of us, and those we love, right? We know God will take all of us someday. And you pray for, ever since I was a child, I was taught to pray for a happy death. You don't hear that too much anymore, but it's a good prayer. Pray for a happy death. And certainly one without so much pain. And in these crazy days with hospitals the way they are, because of COVID and all the rest, it seems even more difficult to put someone into the hospital because they have so many restrictions on visitors. And we all want to be with our loved ones when God calls them. The chances are much less if they are in a hospital. So there's a little part of me that prays she gets strong. There's another little part of me that says, Mom, one day, when you're ready to go to sleep, you'll open your eyes and you'll see Mary and Jesus and a few other your favorite saints. Maybe this Blessed Solanus Casey. Maybe Padre Pio, who she always was so devoted to and prayed to so strongly. Anyways, that those things are blessings, really. They're blessings, even though they're difficult. Fulton Sheen used to talk about the white grace and black grace.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Black grace would be God speaking to us, giving us some sense of goodness, some sense of his presence in a negative, in a difficult situation. Certainly, the hour of our death is one such circumstance, right? And so anyways, let's take our special break right now, our first break. You are listening to Father Tom Coyes, guest host on the Winds of Change on the new EWTN, Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI, Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WFSI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm David Carollo, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for tuning in. I thought I'd start with that beautiful story about a healing of a wonderful, humble Capuchin friar by the name of Solanus Casey. But that makes me want to share this story even all the more. And remember that the way that story ended with the canonization committee wondering if it was truly a miracle or not, because there are so many natural explanations to people getting better. That leads us to this other COVID story. Again, this is something that just happened, and it kills me to share this with you. This past weekend, November 6th, which was Sunday, of course, there was this refusal on the part of Edwards Hospital out there in Naperville to offer ivermectin to a patient. And the patient was the father of a doctor. And so I gotta share this story with you, because maybe we can even follow up on this next week if we can. This is from the Thomas More band of lawyers who do so much for so many people, and unfortunately these COVID cases are too many. Anyways, I got to share this with you. On November 6th of this year, administrators from the hospital in Naperville deliberately flouted a court order which mandated that they allow a doctor to administer ivermectin to a desperately ill patient. Attorneys from Mauck and Baker are representing Dr. Man Quan Ning, whose father is a patient at Edward Hospital. Dr. Ning is also represented by Parlato Law in New York, which is handling ivermectin litigation throughout the United States. Let's remember that, my friends. Parlato Law from New York, handling ivermectin litigation throughout the United States. Wow. So why are hospitals and administrators, especially when someone is so sick, they're refusing this simple drug? It just doesn't make sense. It makes one think that there is an evil force that's just involved in this. So anyways, back to this article. Dr. Ning's father, Mr. Sun Ning, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that Chinese name, just spelled NG, how about that, was visiting the United States from Hong Kong for his grandson's first birthday. He became ill with COVID-19 and was hospitalized on October 14th. Ning's condition has worsened dramatically, and his daughter, the doctor, Dr. Ning, would like him to receive ivermectin. The drug is considered by many in the medical industry to be a non-traditional yet potentially effective treatment for COVID. The hospital would not administer the drug despite Dr. Ning's wishes and refused to allow access by her or any physician who is willing to give her father the ivermectin. Dr. Ning went to court suing the hospital and seeking a temporary restraining order. against Edwards Elmhurst Health Facility. This is not the first time this has been in the news from that health facility, sad to say. The story is about a daughter seeking to save her father's life. A daughter who is a doctor herself. The judge agreed that there is no good reason for the hospital to refuse to allow her to provide a life-saving, non-traditional drug when they have as good as declared him to be dying, explained Kristen Erickson, attorney for Malkin Baker. Dr. Ning has obtained a licensed physician to treat her father and administer the potentially life-saving ivermectin. There is no legal reason for Edward Hospital to refuse to allow this. Judge Paul Fullerton of the 18th Judicial Circuit Court heard the case on November 1st, 2021, granted the temporary restraining order and ruled that the hospital allow the ivermectin to be administered. On Friday, November 5th, Fullerton ordered Edward Hospital to stand back and allow Dr. Alan Bain to enter Edward Hospital, granting him emergency temporary privileges for the sole purpose of administering ivermectin to Mr. Ning. The judge's ruling granted a preliminary injunction and instructed the hospital to allow Dr. Bain to go into the hospital and administer ivermectin according to the prescription, once a day for 15 days. I have to put a little editorial comment in here too on this because I took ivermectin and I truly believe I was getting better. It was helping me. In fact, I think it kept me from having any loss of breath during my bout with Mr. COVID. Again, it doesn't make sense for there to be such a adverse reaction, such a no way in hell will I allow someone to give a dying or very serious patient, even at the request of a doctor, for a simple drug that is becoming quite famous for being very helpful in treating ivermectin. I can't help but think that story about from Michigan, the guy who Solanus Casey appeared to in his bed. When I wonder if he got ivermectin. Probably not. Would that he did, then the cure would have been less miraculous, but so much more understandable and helping us see what needs to be done, right? So anyways, over the weekend, this is where the story gets even crazier, right? Over the weekend, the hospital completely refused to allow Dr. Bain access to the patient. They claimed it was because Bain was not vaccinated and that their chief medical officer was not at the hospital to proctor Bain's administration of the drug. The chief medical officer has to be there to see this other doctor give this one very sick patient one pill, which has been used and tested for years and years and has been declared over and over again to be a safe drug. What is going on, my friends? Why is there this feeling of evil behind so much of this? So we continue. An emergency report was filed with the court first thing on Monday morning, just the other day, recounting the weekend's events. After brief argument from both parties, Judge Fullerton admonished Edward Hospital's representatives and restated that the order that he ordered them to let Dr. Bain in on Friday and that the hospital must let Dr. Bain in. On Monday, November 8th, as ordered, Edward Hospital allowed Dr. Bain into the facility to administer a dose of ivermectin to Mr. Ning. The hospital also filed a motion to stay or stop the effect. of Judge Fullerton's order that Dr. Bain be allowed to continue to do so for a total of 15 days. It's just hard to believe what we're seeing today. Somebody fighting for their life, different options are available for the disease we're talking about.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Between judges. Between lawyers with this one judge, at least in this circumstance. And so there's just this evil feeling. I just can't get over this. Let's see. Hopefully, Judge Fullerton's ruling will encourage all hospitals to modify their COVID protocols to incorporate more innovative drugs like ivermectin so that more lives are saved, added Erickson. Go to frontline doctors, as I've often quoted from before. See how many doctors are seeing the praises of ivermectin, having so much success. Not doctors like Dr. Fauci, who don't treat patients in hospitals, but do research and spend most of their working days in laboratories and peering through microscopes and all the rest. We need to listen to many of the doctors that are, as they call, front line, dealing with patients. And we pray that this attitude, this evil spirit, will be put behind us, as it were. Let's see, Nick, I think you're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our next break. And I want to switch. We're starting a new book in our book club about the Reformation as it happened in England. And it's the story of Archbishop Cranmer. He's not a household word, but indeed he should be, because what the book is about is primarily how he changed the liturgy to change people's faith. And of course that relates to today in the way we pray, the prayers we use, and what our faith truly is about. There's a few things I got to share with you, and we'll be right back. I'm Father Tom Coy's guest host on The Winds of Change, and you are listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WFSI.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Royal.
Plain and simple, we cannot change our sex or gender. Everyone is born male or female, and this is woven through our entire being. Various aspects of brain construction and skeletal construction are different between men and women and cannot be interchanged. Even our very DNA is sex-typed. The most we can do is undergo cosmetic mutilation and live an illusion that we are the other gender, or no gender, or some other form of gender, or, well, you know what I mean. So why is modern civilization making delusion normative and all in the name of compassion and sensitivity? It is because a scientific, rationalist worldview out of which we view all of life has left civilization progressively disintegrated and bipolar. Spirit is separated from matter, body from soul, freedom from truth, person from nature. In these dichotomies, the physical world is value-free. The goal is to dominate nature because we think we can. The physical world has no connection or quality with values that are of a more spiritual or transcendent nature. We think we can do whatever we want at the moment with our bodies. Tattoo them, cut them, unite them sexually with someone we do not even know or love, or cosmetically reorient their sexual appearances. What also lies behind this is the same thing that was behind original sin, our lust for autonomy, to be fully in control, as though we were God the creator and not the creature. To affirm someone in delusion is never compassionate or sensitive. Real compassion, sensitivity, and even happiness will be found to the degree that we rediscover and defer to the natural order that God himself set in place. This means rediscovering the sacramental, mystical worldview and eating a lot of humble pie.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Mary Fiorito, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here on a brain wrinkling Wednesday. So I've been doing these stories about COVID. It's the topic du jour, of course. But let me go back in history, because there's lessons that we can learn from history that also apply to things going on today. What I want to share with you is some of the stories of... Oh, wait a minute, I'm here. Getting a little feedback here. I'm going to reduce this gain here a little bit. That might help. It seems to help. So... we all know that there was something called the Protestant Reformation. We all associate the Protestant Reformation with Germany, where Martin Luther began, of course, but it also came in a big way in England. The story of the Reformation, Protestant Reformation, is somewhat different in England than it is in Germany, primarily because there was this strange... This strange love and hate relationship with the Catholic Church by Henry VIII. I say strange love and hate because he loved the Mass. He loved so much about Catholicism. It's just the one thing that snagged him was the little issue of his spouse. The little issue of not being able to love one woman for the rest of his life. Obviously, we all know part of that story. And in trying to relate that, there's an interesting twist, and I don't necessarily have this in my mind until while I'm reading through the Cranmer's Godly Order book. And there's a twist to the story that never really set right with me in my heart, because I thought once King Henry VIII declared himself supreme head of the church in England, I kind of thought, well, that's the end of the story, or at least the end of the unity. Theologians have discussed this a bit, and there were for a few years the hope that even if this king declared himself supreme head of the church in England, he could still be united with Rome. It's kind of strange, isn't it? And therefore, what began as a schism turned into heretical dissolution of the unity. And that might sound a little odd to you, or you know, what's the difference? The difference is, as you analyze it, the Catholic Church has incredible respect for civil authority. And so much respect for civil authority, and especially their understanding of civil authority comes from a long, many centuries battling for a partnership with civil authorities, without the real desire to dominate civil authorities, just a desire to influence civil authorities. So here's the little crack in the dam, shall we say, or a little opening door that this story of the Reformation vis-a-vis England teaches us a lesson about this incredible respect for civil authority. That being said, okay, the king proclaims himself the supreme head of the church in England. Now, the Pope would almost be ready to say, okay, you have authority over your kingdom as long as you're teaching your subjects true Catholicism. This reminds me a little bit of the way some religious organizations are structured even today. And what comes to my mind, Opus Dei is a, many, many people know about Opus Dei, started by Father Scriva. And when you get to know many of the communities, the houses, study groups or study homes, whatever, there are different names for the different places where they do their ministry. Many times the priests will be subject to the authority of a lay person who heads up the little community. Oftentimes they have a bit of a hierarchy within lay people. The highest Opus Dei lay person is what they call a supernumerary. So sometimes in these homes, in these communities, the lay person will order the priests around, so to speak. You know, they'll set the calendar. They'll be the administrator. They'll say, you know, you're needed here, you're needed there. Can you go there? Can you do this? And many times the priests will just accept that kind of subservient role to the head. So the reason I bring that up is in this initial break from Henry VIII breaking with the Pope was almost ready to say, okay, you can be the supreme head of the church as long as you're super faithful and you're on target, you're not teaching, you're not giving bad example, etc. You know, in other words, you didn't need a cardinal to be supreme head of the church in England. And if there were cardinals or archbishops, like this Archbishop Cranmer, who, by the way, in the end gets burned at the stake during Queen Mary's reign, we'll get to that later. But he did so much damage. More, he did not have the full, the kind of love for the sacraments that Henry VIII did, except for that one sacrament called matrimony. Actually, Cranmer took a mistress for many years, and he wasn't officially married to her until marriage was declared not to be a sacrament, or he gave himself the right to take a wife, as it were. Here's something very interesting in the chronology of what was going on. And this does harbor back to Germany and Martin Luther's. We all, if you know, that there's a funny phrase called the Diet of Worms. It's kind of like it envisions us modern thinkers to a plate of worms that you're supposed to eat. Nothing of the, not, that's not at all exactly. A diet was like a conference or a synod, I guess you could say. And Worms is just the name of the town, right? So even though it's a very weird name, it's an important part of the story.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It's as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see.
But here's what we need to see. A strange, strange twist, because obviously King Henry VIII was a king, and the hereditary passing down of the throne to children is a part of what monarchy is all about. It's one of my great pet peeves, my friend. So many people, when they want to criticize the Catholic Church, and especially the hierarchy in the Catholic Church, point out that Catholicism operates as a monarchy, which I always like to say, no, it doesn't. It operates with a hierarchy, but not a monarchy, because there's never been a monarchy that doesn't also include passing on the throne to one's children. And the very fact that priests, and especially the Pope, don't have children, obliterates the idea that the Catholic Church operates with a monarchy. What we have to appreciate is the idea of hierarchy. And hierarchy is a reality, and you want to wipe it out. The whole egalitarian movement today that's behind so much of what Black Lives Matter is all about, or so much of communism and socialism deny hierarchy. They talk against it, but then you just recreate it in a different way. But here's an important point. When Henry VIII publishes his defense of the seven sacraments against the heresy of Luther, isn't that something? At first, Henry VIII, when Luther was talking against the sacraments, Henry VIII published a defense of the seven sacraments. He is rewarded by Pope Leo X with the title Defender of the Faith. The title belonged to the king personally and not to his successors. But in 1543, it was annexed to the crown by Parliament and became hereditary. It is still retained by British monarchs and featured on their coinage. We got to stop here for a minute. Can you see what a mistake it is?
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
In the line of family, not only was Henry VIII a defender of the faith and a strong, wise Catholic man, but because his children then follow in his footsteps in the civil seat of authority, they too are then as faithful and as wise as their father or grandfather or great-grandfather. It's just one of those little points of history that we have to be appreciative of what mistakes. You can't assign faithfulness to a family bloodline, right? You can't say that because Father, Mr. Smith, was a great Catholic, then his son will be a great Catholic, and his son, the grandson, and the so on and so forth. It confuses the idea of, okay, this one has the civil authority because he's been a legitimate king, with this one has faith because their parents were faithful. How obviously wrong that is today. Anyways, okay, let's take another quick break here, my friends. And we'll come back. I do want to share the news about the TLM, too. There was some news from Rome that maybe we can end with that. I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change. You are listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI. Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
I'm Loretta Freilich, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
Plain and simple, we cannot change our sex or gender. Everyone is born male or female, and this is woven through our entire being. Various aspects of brain construction and skeletal construction are different between men and women and cannot be interchanged. Even our very DNA is sex-typed. The most we can do is undergo cosmetic mutilation.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
There we go. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you can hear me. We got, we're trying to keep all our ducks in a row here. Listen, we only got a few minutes left here, but I do want to mention some news coming from Rome. Pope Francis is issuing a letter about the traditional Latin Mass. He's instructing. He wants so much control over it. He's afraid that the free use of the traditional Latin Mass is hurting the church. I don't know how else to say it. And one of the key elements of his crackdown, shall we say. There's one side that I'll agree with him on, but
another side that I think he needs to have some pushback, shall we say. He wants those who love the old Trinitine Mass to be all on board with Vatican II. He wants those who love the old Trinitine Mass to not declare the new Mass from Vatican II, the Novus Ordo, as it's called. He wants them not to think or declare that the Novus Ordo is invalid. And to be perfectly honest, at least in my heart, I would agree with that, primarily because I've been a priest all these years and I've been celebrating the Novus Ordo, and I've always believed that the Novus Ordo prayers that I use, millions, thousands of priests do, really does confect the Eucharist. I could say that I like some prayers better than others. I could say that I like some songs better than others. I can say I prefer the old prayers better than new prayers, and I've said that a lot actually in my days. But I cannot say that the power to confect the Eucharist comes through my preference of the prayers. If the Church says that this Eucharistic prayer confects the Eucharist, then that Eucharistic prayer confects the Eucharist. See what I'm driving at? You can't say that the form of the prayers can be separated from the issue of apostolic succession. So in that, I want to encourage anybody who loves the TLM, and I'm more and more including myself in that, because it's a beautiful Mass. But I see it as, I'll use a phrase from John Paul II, the breathing with both lungs. Remember, John Paul II often described the East and the West as both Catholic, and the unity of the East and the West is kind of like breathing with both lungs. I don't see why that same analogy can't fit the Novus Ordo and the old Mass. Here's what came down the pike. All requests, this is happening in the Diocese of Rome, all requests specifically related to the motu proprio must explicitly mention the church or oratory in which the celebration is intended, except parish churches. It seems like they're going to stick with the idea that parish churches will not use the TLM. You have to find an oratory or a mission. And there are a lot of those. Actually, Renew My Church created a whole bunch of missions. So my thought is that those missions and oratories should start bursting from the seams, right? And then this letter to the Church of Rome, that Diocese of Rome, lists a bunch of churches where it will be allowed. So why it has to be limited so much has, I think, something to do with a bit of even jealousy on the part of those who don't like it, shall we say. It's a little bit of competition on how to get more people holy and into heaven. Maybe
what's there
thing.
To say?
Anyways, I'm Father Tom Coyce. No, I'm a guest host on Winds of Change, and you have been listening to the new EWTN Catholic fence. Radio Can Voice for Chicagoland, WFSI, Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
We marvel and flatter such meaningless thoughts. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.